Hello and welcome to this edition of Henrico CTE Now. I'm Marianne McGee, and with me today is
Mike Roberts.
I am so honored to co-host with Mike. And Mike, I know we have some listeners in stunned silence right now because they're listening for the dulcet tones of Rashawn Garnett. They're demanding Rashawn. They want to know where Rashawn is. We knew that he was destined to be a man of many adventures, and he is on to his next adventure.
Yep.
And off to conquer his next mountain. But Mike and I are still holding it down. We've got a lot of great stuff to talk about today and in future episodes. So remember, you can always check out Henrico CTE on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, Twitter, at the handle Henrico CTE. And for a really good deep dive of what's going on, visit henricocte.com. And Mike, our podcast audience is growing. This is like really impressive, isn't it?
Yeah. You can find, if you want to listen to our past podcast, and we have 5 years worth of it. We've got over 100 episodes. You can find us on any of the major podcast apps and the majority of the minor ones. And we're adding new ones as I find them.
Absolutely. And Mike and I have been really, really excited about this show. And it's going to be hot and maybe full of some other fire-related puns. It's going to be hot, though, because we have two real-life, legit firefighting stars from the Henrico Division of Fire, Chief Douglas Clavert, Deputy Fire Chief of Community Risk Reduction, and Duan Perez Means, firefighter and paramedic with the Henrico Division of Fire. Chief Duan, thank you. Welcome. We are super delighted. Forget all that people have seen on TV and the movies. This is going to be the real story. But I do have to ask this question because on behalf of our listeners, I think we all want to know. You all actually passed that crazy physical ability test to be firefighters. And when I read through the test, just reading, like my heart rate went up. I felt tired. I had to go sit down. This is an incredible test, the Candidate Physical Ability Test. Do you remember those days of taking that test, Chief?
So I do. I was just turned 22 years old, so I was young, inspired and worked out a lot. But today, you know, being 40 years old, I could still take the test and do it. It's not as easy anymore. As you go through it, but it's not to say that it's not to discourage anybody from age, where you are in life, with enough hard work and dedication. We've seen folks come in that are, you know, smaller than average, bigger than average. There's no rules to it. It's just if you put in the hard work and dedication. But the way the test is set up, it's all actually training sessions that we provide for you. So we teach you how to go through the test. We teach you how to swing the X. We go over, you know, walking on the stair mill for 3 minutes with 75 pounds on, and that just takes dedication. It's also mental toughness, not just physical. So are you going to get defeated and let it beat you down? Are you going to push through and just pull the grit out of yourself and, you know, get out of that? Most folks that really want to do this, even if they fail, they come back again and try again. But I do remember those days. Feels like it was many moons ago.
Oh, my goodness. And I do want to say, look, this is not a gender-specific thing. Females come out and crush this test along with anybody else, right?
Yes, ma'am. So in our last recruit class, if I'm not mistaken, we had two females that were in the class. A lot of times, you know, in my opinion, some of the females come out and it'd be, by nature, they have a smaller frame, but they come out and have more time left on their score than a lot of the guys. They push harder. They talk just as much trash as the guys. It's like a sports team. But if you look at a lot of, just even here in Henrico, there's a lot more girls and women sports teams. So it's becoming more of an adaptability, I say, for us, because we go recruit at some of the sports teams, some of the colleges, some of the high schools, and we'll sit there and try to talk like, hey, have you ever thought about being a firefighter? Well, you're doing lacrosse, you're doing field hockey, mm-hmm. you're doing soccer, you're playing physical sports right now. What about this? And that's kind of how we start to get them in the door.
So that is great. And I think for any women like myself who've been really determined to move their couch by themselves, you would be surprised at the physical strength you find when you're feeling really determined. But let's go back a little bit to kind of those early days. What was the call to this? Dwayne, let me get you to hop in here. What called you to firefighting and being a first responder to begin with?
So for me, it was the passion to change, you know, change for the better, change my surroundings, things that I see around me. I come from a counseling background. I was a counselor before I was a firefighter. And so being able to make an immediate impact on people's lives was one of the things that drew me to the fire department. I got to see, you know, put in labor, but also reap the benefits immediately. And I knew I made a positive impact on that person's life, on their family's life. And for me, that's just gratifying.
What triggered that? I mean, was there a particular event, or was it something that happened over time that brought you to from being a counselor to this?
So
that's a big jump.
Like Chief mentioned before, you know, I played sports all my life. Went to Virginia Tech, played football. So I was used to being active. Wasn't necessarily used to sitting down, you know, being still. I'm used to getting out there, using my body, you know. And so two of those together, the ability to impact lives immediately and also remain active, remain fit, remain on a team, you know, put myself in a family environment was kind of the thing that switched for me. So really, I guess what initiated the change was I'm like, I love what I'm doing. I know that I am influencing people, but sitting behind a desk wasn't necessarily what I wanted to do. But I still was passionate about making that change. But being able to do both was just like a win-win. So,
awesome. Chief, how about you? Did you have a certain thing that just triggered you and called you to do this?
I did. So mine's a little different. Dwayne left a couple things out, but I'm not going to tell him what he left out.
So he'll tell me later.
Dwayne failed to mention that he is a Henrico High School graduate as well.
Oh,
so
there you go.
Shout that out. I also was born and raised in Henrico County, graduated from Mills Godwin. So I did see public safety growing up. So all of my family's in public safety. So they're either my dad still working in public safety. He's works for Richmond Sheriff's Office. He also retired from the Richmond Police Department. Had an uncle that worked in Henrico Police Department. Had another uncle who's a federal judge, now retired. And my other uncle was a City of Richmond firefighter, then turned police officer. So it was in my blood that I was going to do something public safety. I just didn't know what it was. And my dad was probably the main corporate of getting me into the fire service. He always, you know, showed me giving back to the community, leading others, and just being a good human being. Other than that, I didn't grow up in fire stations. I wasn't chasing behind fire trucks. That just wasn't where I was. I played sports. I actually thought I was going to be a police officer, you know, watching my dad grow up and being a detective and everything. But he was like, hey, the fire department's hiring. Why don't you try that? It's the same, but it's a little different. I actually tried, got it on the first try, which most people don't do. But that day that I got the call, I knew I was going to do something good in it, because I've always wanted to take care of people. I've always tried to give a helping hand, give people my last, and try to help others succeed over myself. So I think that's kind of how my calling came and got into the career path of firefighting.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Mike. I think in an emergency, either seeing Chief or Dwayne, you're going to immediately feel better. If there are two people you want to see walking in during an emergency, it's either one of these gentlemen. I can tell you that. I want to talk a little bit about kind of the career and technical education piece, because it's really interesting if people have this in their background or not really. Did either of you take any CTE classes in middle or high school? Was it on your radar at all?
I took the veterinary science program.
Okay.
I don't even know if it was called vet tech. I think it was called vet tech.
Vet technician.
Right, right.
Vet science now.
Yes, yeah. So I took that in high school. Fell in love with it. That's one of the reasons why.
My daughter took that class.
Awesome.
And she went to Godwin.
Go Eagles.
Look, well, I'm going to say go Big Herm Panthers. What's up? But, yeah, I took that, and that's actually one of the influences what influenced me to go to Virginia Tech, because I wanted to be a veterinarian.
And the vet, Duane, we need a picture of you holding a little kitten. I mean, you know, just because you're like over 6 feet tall, we need that photo
of
you.
It's really small kitten. Exactly.
It's really a cat.
It really is. Exactly. It just looks like a teeny kitten. So, okay, that's interesting. Chief, how about you?
So, I did not. So, going to God, when they had the Math and Science Center, I was not in that. I was playing a lot of sports doing that. For those who I would say that don't have any experience, don't be afraid, because I was one of those. When I came in and got hired, a lot of people in my class had volunteer experience or came for other career departments, and it was frightening at first because they're shouting out answers. They know some of the stuff in EMT. It's hard. It's a college course shoved down your throat in 8 weeks. So I was a little intimidated, but I knew who me, being the person that I am, I wasn't going to let it defeat me. So, no, I had no experience coming into it, no technical skills. I learned everything I had. But once I got into it, my willpower just to take classes and learn and do a lot of hands-on thing on my own. I spent a lot of time taking classes, paying out of my pocket, going to trips on weekends, and getting my skill set up. So, no, I didn't have any technical skills prior to this.
Well, this is good, because I'm glad that people on either side of that are hearing these mm-hmm. stories and feeling welcome and kind of feeling like that door is still open to them.
Most definitely.
And Mike, we actually have some students who are dipping their toe into the water on this, don't we?
Yeah. Our EMT students, I mean, they have a one-year program where they can get a national certification in EMT. How does that go along with y'all's training when it comes to somebody who's coming in and wanting to become a firefighter and trying to get into the academy? Is it a bonus for them to already have that certification, or is it looked at all?
So I would say I can answer that two ways. So one, Henrico County has a very very important, I'll say it's probably one of the legs that helps Henrico County, is with the internship. So we actually use the EMTs in the Hermitage program in our internship. So they come, they do internships with us so they can understand what it's like to work as an EMT. They get to do ride-alongs on the fire trucks. They get to visit the fire stations. They get to see the skill side of it. They get to see EMS training and things like that. So that's one side of it. The other side is for someone coming into they could already apply for a job even if they don't want to be a firefighter. So we have what's called a medical transport technician, which is a civilian position. So they don't wear the sworn uniform like us, but they would still ride on a BLS ambulance, and they would get paid a full-time job to be an EMT, and they would respond to low acuity calls for us to help take relief off of our ALS transport units. So that's another option. Also, when they apply for the firefighter position, it is required that you obtain EMT, so you don't have to come in the door with it. So again, someone like me can still apply. It doesn't give you any more points towards a score or anything like that having EMT, but it is something that we would look at when it comes down to where we place you in the academy. So it's good to have some that come in with EMT, because you can help the ones that don't have EMT kind of study groups and things like that, because it is still a family. There's many opportunities for folks with coming in EMT to get their foot into the door. Once you get into the MTT program, it gives you the opportunity to not necessarily be a firefighter yet, but you get to come into the fire stations, you get to respond to calls, you get to interact with our folks, you've been through our hiring process, you've been through our interview process. So it's kind of giving you a feather in your cap when you do apply, because you've already been through an interview, you know some of the players, so you see Dewan in a station, you can ask some questions, you bump into one of the captain's lieutenant, and next thing you know, you have relationships built.
Well, I think the nice thing about that is that the students get to look forward to at least part of their training is going to be a little bit easier than the next person.
Yes.
Because they've already gone through this. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it opens them up to help the other students. And I think that's awesome.
Most definitely. It
creates that family bond you mentioned about.
It does.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of advantages, like Chief mentioned. Team, you know, leadership skills, mm-hmm. you know, the advantage, your confidence level increases.
Right.
But also one of the things that I wanted to mention was that it actually shortens your academy. So that if you already have your EMT and it is still current, up to date, then you actually are not required to go through the process, the whole EMT process. So it shortens down your academy time.
What's the age limit on applying for the academy?
18.
18?
Yes,
Very
sir.
So straight out of high school.
Straight out of high school.
Yep.
I mean, and you're mentioning how these young people are, I tell you, with the programs we see in general, Regency is a good example. These are young people, but they are stepping up to the plate. Mike, you have talked in a former podcast a little bit about this, but speaking of how our students really connected with the Fire Sprinkler Association at Regency, and this was a pretty significant project they worked on.
Oh yeah, I mean, we had when the association got involved, they were really interested to see how well with bringing in some of their people to provide training that we weren't doing. You know, when it comes to fire sprinkler systems, it's a little different than something else when it comes to making a change. And since we were renovating the space there at Regency for the Adult Education Center, we had 200 and some sprinkler heads that had to get moved. And we had a company that came forward through the advice of the Sprinkler Association, provided us with 200 and some of these things, devices called whips. It's basically a braided line that they were able to move the sprinkler head. They didn't have to change anything that was in calculating the water flow and the pressure and all that stuff, which happens when they start making these changes, because it's a flexible line that's not making any hard right-hand turns. And our students were, with 30 minutes of training, were installing them in less than 2 minutes per sprinkler head. And they did it 200 and some times. And the association, the other fire sprinkler companies that are involved in the association, when they got to see the videos and of what happened, they were blown away on that one. And plus, and the students just ate it up. They loved getting up there and doing this. And you could tell. And we ended up with some really standout students that were very highly sought after on signing day to come work for these companies.
Yeah. They're moving right into work. So Chief, speaking of kind of the Regency project and kind of new construction in general, building materials are part of what a firefighter needs to understand for safety, because if I understand correctly, that can determine how fast a fire could spread, how you would fight it, et cetera. So I know community colleges offer an associate degree in fire science. I believe they teach this kind of principles like this. Is this something you think is valuable? Can you be a firefighter and a student?
So I'll hit the building construction piece first. That's very valuable. It helps you understand your job. It helps you understand what you're going into. Look at it, different areas of the county. There's different construction. When you go into, you know, West Broad Village, it's totally different than Verona. This is going to be totally different to zero lot lines in, you know, Twin Hickory versus maybe the East End is more spread out. So building construction helps you understand what you're getting yourself and your crew into. It helps you understand how the fire is going to move, how it's going to burn, and then just the materials and stuff that our houses are made out is totally different than just, you know, 20, 30 years ago and what's burning in there. The second piece is educating yourself in this job is probably the most important thing. You never stop learning. I've been in the fire service for a little over 18 years, and I'm still learning things today. When you talk about education, so I graduated Godwin and went to college, realized it wasn't for me, so I did not obtain a degree. Sitting here today, I now have 3 degrees. I have an associate's, a bachelor's, and a master's, so it is doable. You just have to be willing to put in the work. Like if you see a common theme, we talked about putting in the work. For the physical part of it, but it's also putting in the work. Once you get in here, it doesn't stop. This isn't a job where you walk in the door, I got hired, I checked the box, and now it's time to kick my feet up. You're just getting started. So I was able to obtain those degrees while working, while still taking hands-on classes, while, you know, still taking care of my family, raising kids. I have a senior, well, he'll be a senior next year at Deep Run High School. So still being able to do that family life balance, balancing between taking classes, between, you know, doing homework at night, between, you know, working 24-hour shifts, how you're going to fit in your homework. If is it an online class? Is it an in-person class? So balancing all that and still, you know, thinking about things like your mental health and things like that, and, you know, sharing some of the things that you've seen, but being able to paint the picture for those coming in the door behind us. So when you talk to some of those students, hey, if college is not for you, this is actually a perfect job because you can get started and go to college once you get in. Or if you do have a college degree, this is good for you because that helps you with some of the criteria that's needed to get promoted. So that you can approach that two ways. So,
Does Henrico County offer for somebody who's become a firefighter and they're looking to go back to school any type of a tuition reimbursement?
Yes, sir, we do. We do have tuition reimbursement, which is actually under our training and professional development section.
We have been talking a lot about the firefighting piece of this, but the Division of Fire has lots of different areas and arms and opportunities for people. Chief, if you are drawn to this, but perhaps you're not thinking of fire, maybe you're thinking of IT or your technology, or you have a fascination with drones or something else, there's an opportunity for you.
We just met the communications person here.
Yes, we sure did.
So there's lots of you know, little angles coming on.
So there's a lot of opportunities for growth once you get in the fire service. For example, if you like chemistry and things like that, we have three stations that are part of the state hazmat team. So you can get into hazmat. All that training is provided for you. We have a now two technical rescue stations. So if you were to be on the side of a building washing windows, someone on a rope will come down and get you. If you fall into a deep hole and it needs to be like a tight space or shored up or underground, so our technical rescue team, which is, I throw them out there as being the best in the state, to come rescue you, they can do that. That also includes swift water rescue. From a technical rescue standpoint, if you want to learn more about understanding vehicle extrication, so our special services handle those. So if you see those mangled up accidents on the side of the road, that's another avenue of it. We also have a dive team, which obviously goes underwater, does a lot of, you know, diving, which we're currently expanding right now. And then we also have our for most folks, it'd be called the drone team, where you actually go get a pilot's license to fly those and everything. That's housed at Station 19 in Shore Pump. That's just touching the surface.
Wow.
I'd probably say our busiest specialty team would be tactical medics. So those are paramedics that run tactical calls with the police department to assist them in, like, the SWAT team and SWAT missions and things like that. So there's a lot of opportunity. There's other opportunities if you want to be an instructor. So you can apply to come to training to be an instructor. I will say this fire chief is taking, Fire Chief Jackson Bainard's taking the role of trying to create more opportunities. So most recently we created a recruitment position for firefighters, which was well needed, but it gives a firefighter opportunity to come on a 40-hour work week and actually be out in the community recruiting. So there's a bunch of different things that you can do once you get in the fire service. So a lot of people, you know, well, I don't necessarily want to do this my entire life. Some people come in and they want to ride on fire trucks their whole life. Some people come in, they want to get another skill set, then go back to riding a fire truck. So there's a lot of things that you can do in the fire service, particularly here in Henrico, to help build your skill sets and give our folks more stuff to lean on.
Well, I know we've had a lot of students and parents who've been really interested in everything you have to say and can be perhaps thinking of their young person as, you know, he or she would be perfect for this. What's just exciting is that there's so much space for exploration. And if you're committed to the mission, there's training and there's opportunity to help you get there. But I tell you, we want to thank you and the entire Division of Fire, the people we see and the folks that we don't see, for keeping our community safe. You all do an extraordinary job, and thank you for carving out time for your super busy day to be here on Henrico CTE Now. We really appreciate it. As a reminder, you can always check us out on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, LinkedIn. Our handle is Henrico CTE, or you can visit henricocte.com. This was a great show, Mike.
Yes. I mean, I think it's our first show together, and I think this is a good foreshadowing of what's to come.
Yeah, we are en fuego. We're on fire. All right, so I'm just going to go ahead and claim that and end the show with one last pun. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in to Henrico CTE Now. I'm Marianne McGee with Mike Roberts, and we'll catch you next time.